bans any significant corporate development if the majority of the impacted neighborhood votes no. Wouldn't that be so much more sensible than one neighborhood after another battling one individual cell tower application after another within a political process where the corporation has the constitutionally protected right to place the tower anywhere it wants to, while the local residents have to sit obediently, while their local elected officials watch their backs and try to avoid a corporate lawsuit? Is this really the best we can do? Of course not. I will be sharing this vision at our upcoming neighborhood meetings, proposing a more effective strategy to stop this and other new cell towers. And if anyone out there has a cell tower controversy in another neighborhood, let's get our neighborhoods networked together so that we can stop these dangerous towers once and for all. You've been listening to the weekly commentary by yours truly, Paul Cienfuegos. You can hear future commentaries every Tuesday on the KBOO Evening News in Portland, Oregon, and on a growing number of other radio stations. I welcome your feedback. You can subscribe to my weekly podcast via iTunes or at communityrightspdx.org. You can follow me on Twitter at @CienfuegosPaul. You can sign up for my newsletter at paulcienfuegos.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, we are the people we've been waiting for.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an interview with someone, followed by Out Loud at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tonight, there will be a 20% chance of showers before 11 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 46. And tomorrow, partly sunny with a high near 60. On this day in 1997, the ashes of Timothy Leary, Gene Roddenberry, and 22 others blasted into space for the first burials in space. The quote of the day is from Mr. Leary. In the information age, you don't teach philosophy as they did after feudalism. You perform it. If Aristotle were alive today, he'd have a talk show.
It's 5:47, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
A longtime Washington PR flack for tobacco giants, labor exploiters, frackers, and other corporate profiteers celebrates himself as Dr. Evil, the scourge of all progressive groups. But Rick Berman is not a doctor, not evil, and not a scourge. While he is a wholly unprincipled little man, he's just a self-serving huckster who grubs for corporate dollars by offering to do their dirty PR work. Berman's modus operandi is not exactly sophisticated. Taking money from the likes of Philip Morris, Monsanto, and Tyson Foods, he sets up tax-exempt front groups with nondescript names like Center for Consumer Freedom, Employment Policies Institute, and Environmental Policy Alliance, posing them as independent research outfits. Each one is an empty shell, run by his small staff out of his Washington, D.C. office. Using the names of the front groups, Berman and Company buy full-page newspaper ads and write opinion pieces that amount to raw hatchet attacks on whatever progressive groups or public policies the corporate funders want to kill. His mad dog style is hardly worrisome to those targeted, for rather than drawing converts to the corporate funders' cause, it merely rallies the usual anti-labor, anti-enviro, anti-fill-in-the-blank crowd. But it still appeals to brand-name corporate clients, for Berman promises to spew their message into the media without having any of the nastiness stick to them. We run all this stuff through nonprofit organizations that are insulated from having to disclose donors, he assured energy executives last year. There is total anonymity, he bragged. People don't know who supports us. This is Jim Hightower saying, but big holes in his curtain of anonymity are now revealing some of the corporations hiding behind it. To take a peek, go to www.bermanexposed.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
The Justice Department announced today that Drug Enforcement Administration head Michelle Lanhart has resigned. Her resignation comes on the heels of reports alleging that agents in Colombia had indulged in parties with prostitutes provided by drug cartels. A recent Justice Department Inspector General's report found systemic issues with DEA's handling of sexual misconduct allegations and inadequate disciplinary actions. The IG report also noted that relevant information was difficult to obtain during its investigation due to a lack of cooperation from the DEA and the FBI. Presidential spokesperson Josh Earnest would neither confirm nor deny the resignation rumors earlier today, but he did say that the president had concerns about the agency. Lanhart clashed with the administration in recent years over drug policy and sentencing reform. The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee last week issued a statement of no confidence in Administrator Lanhart following her testimony to the committee. The committee statement was signed by members from both parties and declared that Administrator Lanhart has been woefully unable to change or positively influence the pervasive good old boy culture that exists throughout the agency. Lanhart is expected to leave office sometime in May.
The incidence of breast cancer in the United States among women aged 30 to 84 is expected to rise significantly over the next 15 years, according to new research released today. Scientists from the National Cancer Institute announced the results of their study at the annual meeting of the American Association for Cancer Research, currently being held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They report that 40 million American women born between 1946 and 1964 will face very high absolute risks of postmenopausal breast cancer, and 56 million women currently in their 20s and 30s will face substantial risks of premenopausal breast cancer. The researchers predicted that the total number of new breast cancer cases is expected to rise more than 50% from 283,000 in 2011 to 441,000 in 2030. The proportion of new cases ages among women aged 70 to 84 is expected to increase from 24% to 35%. The proportion of new cases among women aged 50 to 69 is expected to decrease over that time from 55% to 44%, yet that decrease will not be sufficient to offset the increase among older women. Screening mammography is currently recommended for women ages 50 through 74 by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force and starting at age 40 by the American Cancer Society.
A former Auschwitz guard is on trial in Germany. Oscar Gröning, 93 years old, acknowledges having helped collect and count money as part of his job dealing with the belongings stolen from people arriving at Auschwitz. That earned him the moniker "the accountant of Auschwitz." He is charged with 300,000 counts of accessory to murder. He faces a maximum sentence of 15 years in prison if found guilty. Gröning says that he bears a share of the moral guilt for atrocities at the camp, but told judges at the opening of his trial that it is up to them to decide whether he deserves to be convicted as an accessory to murder. Gröning came to the attention of Holocaust deniers with this statement last year. Quote, "I saw everything, the gas chambers, the cremations, the selection process. 1.5 million Jews were murdered in Auschwitz. I was there."
A new report suggests that Israel directly targeted Palestinian children during the 2014 Gaza War. A report released last week by Defense for Children International, or DCI, independently verified the deaths of 547 Palestinian children during the 2014 Gaza War. At least 535 of the deaths were the direct result of Israeli attacks, and nearly 68% of children killed by Israeli forces were 12 years or younger. And an estimated 1,000 children in Gaza sustained permanent disabilities. The report also noted that children make up the majority of the 108,000 residents left homeless after the war. Though Israel says its military adequately investigated accusations of misconduct during the war, DCI's report disagrees, noting, quote, the international community must challenge systematic impunity by investigating allegations of war crimes and holding perpetrators accountable, unquote. Federica D'Alessandra, a fellow at Harvard University's Carr Center for Human Rights Policy, explained that the trauma may be long-lasting at both a humanitarian and a developmental level, as lost education can take years to regain. He says, quote, this level of damage to human capital can hinder a nation's productivity and growth for decades, unquote.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
When it comes to politics, especially in this day and age, it simply makes no sense to put all of our eggs in one political basket. The days of our union being viewed as a handmaiden for one political party or the pawn in somebody else's political game must come to an end.
North American Building Trades President Sean McGarvey. McGarvey delivered the keynote speech at the Building Trades 2015 Legislative Conference Monday here in Washington, D.C. McGarvey's message was to think more strategically when it comes to politics and internal mobilization of building trades union members. He says building trades members are split roughly 60-40 between Democrats and Republicans, and the American political reality is purple, tinged with red.
Brothers and sisters, all I'm saying is it's time for us to start playing a new game. And we can't do this overnight. But 10 years from now, the economic well-being of our members should no longer be dependent on who occupies the White House, a governor's mansion, a state legislature, or the United States Congress, because we have constructed building trades majorities at all levels of government.
McGarvey says the building trades are not climate change deniers, despite sometimes being on the opposite side of issues with the environmental movement.
And let me be clear. When it comes to the building trades and the environment, first off, we are not climate change deniers. Our unions have consistently been in favor of a balanced region, global solution that puts us on a path to address the serious nature of climate change, but does so in a manner that does not destroy the American middle class and the ability of our members to ply their crafts.
McGarvey says the building trades are on a positive trajectory, having added 53,000 members in 2014. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers says that its efforts to organize the South Carolina Boeing plant are far from over, despite the union's withdrawal of a petition for an April 22nd union election. The IAM says two of its organizers were threatened at gunpoint during worker home visits. The union also cited a toxic environment and gross violations of workers' rights as the reasons that it's postponing an election. The IAM says Boeing's campaign of rumors and threats may have succeeded in delaying the union election, but the fight to win collective bargaining rights for thousands of Boeing South Carolina workers is far from over.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Doug McVeigh, Alan Monticello, Cliff Verla, and Jim Thompson. Our engineer is Sequoina Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at kboonews. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Doug McVeigh. Coming up this morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, filmmaker Ann Kiala Kelly from Hawaii discusses how Native Hawaiian protesters have halted construction of a massive 18-story telescope on their sacred, life-giving mountain, Mauna Kea. At 9 on Political Perspectives, Sarika Mehta hosts a discussion about how the deaf community in India is fighting for their rights to language and equality. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on The Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter speaks with Taylor Stokes and Jonathan Miniman, founders and co-directors of Games to Gather, and with co-director Jay Silvano about this Portland-based organization founded on the idea that play can make the world a better place for every person, gamer and non-gamer alike. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Good night, Nicole.
Good night, Doug.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 6th Annual Abortion.